that thing, huh?
Just to be licensed. For some time there had been some bureaucratic hassle that our doctor needs to go into Georgetown for 9 months. Dr. Green, the Minister of Health, Labor, and whatever the hell else, said a few days ago that it would not be necessary. Dr. Green also said that the delegation that came here and met with us had not given him a formal report. We made an overture to Dr. Green to endear him to us, and I cannot go into that until I know more about the security of all the new people. I mean, how far and how deep is your commitment? Dr. Green has been very friendly but unreachable. The government is having one kind of meeting after another, and they're in the deep session tonight. There's an element in the country that is under the control of the CIA, that we're positive of that, because a friend in the U.S. Embassy has told us that. We're attacked again by that element. That's why one of our people's in isolation right now for forgetting things like that, not humbling himself, not because of that, but because of other things that followed. The group that is supposedly pretends to be black nationalists, but is actually headed by the CIA, because of, you know, we've gotten close enough to U.S. Embassy through another means that a man told us that he actually knows that he asked for CIA funds. Now, I'm sure you might want to step down to an easy situation, and you might relish Cuba and Russia, a number of places tonight, but if you recall, Cuba stood for 3 years and lost 40% of their production from a war psychosis. They lost 40% of their production, having to be on defense night and day for 3 years, until the missile crisis came and Khrushchev flexed his muscles in no uncertain terms, even though it cost him his own personal political career. He felt that Cuba was not safe, and he placed missiles in Cuba aimed at the United States. The United States picked it up by satellite, or U-2. President Kennedy was one of the better presidents, but still enough of a maniac that he kissed his children goodnight, saying that they would probably not see him the next morning, expecting a nuclear war to destroy the whole of the United States. Missiles were bristling towards the Soviet Union, and the Soviet Union ships were on the high seas bringing more missiles. The United States told them if they crossed the line of the destroyers and the fleets of the United States that were protecting what they called their territorial waters, the Monroe Doctrine, the fascist antiquated doctrine, and if they crossed those that fleet, there'd be war. The missiles were out of their silos and pointed towards the Soviet Union and Cuba and every place else that the United States wanted to kill off. So Cuba had its white knights, plenty of them, and anything that's won, anything worth having is worth fighting for. If you don't have something you're prepared to die for, you have nothing worth living for. And there's too little enthusiasm on that subject. I can see a great deal of reservation always comes on that subject. Khrushchev won that one, but lost it himself. The only way Cuba was ever safeguarded, because the United States had decided and determined that this was the territory, the Caribbean was the territory of the United States, and all the South American continent and all of Central America. Khrushchev said, very well, we won't proceed through your boycott, your destroyers that are cordoned against us, provided you give a guarantee in writing before the United Nations and the World Court, Geneva Council, that there will be no invasion of Cuba again, as we had just done. The United States had invaded that beautiful country that I've seen on two occasions The last invasion was attempted at the Bay of Pigs. I was there the first time when they were bombing. Your mother, Martha, and I, we had to jump out of cars and into ditches as the bombs were dropped while the United States press, that's why some of you who believe the United States press ought to be ashamed of yourself, because the United States press said that nobody was being bombed in Cuba, and your mother and I was there while they were bombing children, orphanages, factories, sugar cane fields, everything was being set afire by bombs dropping night and day. And we were under those bombs, and I'm glad for it, because it taught us early what revolution means to some people. And the Cubans didn't give a shit about dying, and that's one thing I liked about them. It was almost like taking a glass of water or sipping on a Coca-Cola. They could give a shit less. They were not going to bow to the bombings, and they resisted. And everybody had a gun, and if Castro wasn't a good man, he'd have been killed, because every fucker had a gun. Everybody was equipped, and they watched the sea night and day. Or they watched their factories night and day. And people shot at planes with bows and arrows. That's how limited they were in those days. They literally had to shoot at planes with bows and arrows. And we were at one place where a black pilot and a white pilot came over a great sugarcane refinery. Waved at them, the black man waving at them, the Uncle Tom, then threw the bomb out. They'd come with big planes, they'd come with little planes. He threw the bomb out and fortunately struck his own tail of the plane, blew the plane up, and the plane catapulted down and came through the house, killing children in an orphanage and killing several in the refinery. But not near the damage it would have been if the bomb had dropped, because it was all torn to pieces. And they brought my wife and I, not knowing that we had been communists all of our life, not even know what the hell anybody else would have killed, anybody that looked Yankee and slightly white. They pulled us over and they said, come over here. They thought we were missionaries. They said, missionarios, will you come here and see what your government's doing and your papers lying, all your newspapers lying and saying that they're not attacking our people? And they brought us over the dead bodies of these two. One of the bodies was laying on top of the little baby and went right through the roof of the house. Marston's got a better memory for details, and she may fill in some. The other, the black one, was laying out on the ground. And I took a picture of it. I took a picture of it and brought it home, and the members of the church saw it. I didn't leave anything to guess games. I took a picture of the sons of bitches. Had his dog tags. He was
a lieutenant in the Air Force.
One was a lieutenant, one was a captain. And black and white trying to trick the people, and the United States was paying for that war, that merciless war on the Cuban people. And I mean, we did not move one half mile without seeing something aflame, fields burning, homes on fire. And Cuba fought that way for 1964, when the missile crisis came, wasn't it? 63 or 64? We were 59.
We were there in, yeah, early 60.
Yeah, just early 60. Just the turn of the year, January. 1 year. We were there just before the anniversary of the revolution. Better listen, you might get your goddamn brains filled with something other than bullshit. Now, don't be playing the games over there and looking at fingernails and that kind of bullshit. We let a lot of things go on here. We let entertainment, we let dances, we let movies, we let decadent dancing. And I say decadent dancing because anything that is loud and noisome and isn't socially redemptive is decadent. But we realize that people make changes slowly, and we're not intolerant. Maybe we should be more intolerant. But some of you, by God, once in a while, all your mind is on is dancing and fucking or a movie. So once in a while, you might take time to get your mind on something of a revolutionary nature.
Evidently, these people haven't reported in. Bodies are sick.
The following people have not, according to White Knight Alert, have not reported in. Cottage 9, 10, 13... 1925, 27, 38, 40, 42, 51, 50. Apartments 2, dorm 2, 4. 2 and 4. These cottages and apartment dorms have not reported. Supervisors from each cottage and apartment must report to Mary Wotherspoon, is it? Mm-hmm. Behind stage immediately. Immediately. You know the responsibility for population accountability. Anyway, Khrushchev, seeing that Cuba was doomed to be destroyed, and they still tried... I don't think it's proper that we should expect a revolution to come easily, because the Cubans had their swine all killed, they had their clouds seeded by the CIA, and all of it's always been denied by the U.S. until just recently. Now it's kind of gone cold, and the American people don't give a shit what their government does. Now they've admitted that they've done some of these things. But at those times when Marcel and I were there, they absolutely and utterly denied every paper called Castro and his people liars. And Eisenhower said, no such bombing is taking place. We would not dream of trying to invade another country. And we were right there while they were trying to do it. And then later, it was admitted. At some later point, it came out of Eisenhower's report that indeed there were pirating raids from Florida. He called them pirating raids by incensed and indignant people who didn't like, industrialists who didn't like the presence of a socialist regime in Cuba. Now, the finality of all of it, and I mean one invasion after another for all those years, one after another, the Cuban people, a precious mixture of all races, black and brown, lovely people, they didn't have peace night or day for 4 years. Until Khrushchev, the Prime Minister of the Soviet Union, put the missiles there. Then the United States said, we'll go to war, and they did. They were ready to blow up everything, the United States included. They said, Khrushchev said, all right, the only way we'll stop going on with our missiles, and the United States always tried to make it look like it was a victory for the United States, but it was a victory for the Soviet Union and a victory for socialist revolution, liberation. Said, the only way we recall our missiles is that you guarantee before the world body, the Geneva World Court, and the United Nations that you will never again invade or interfere with the sovereignty or the freedom of the Cuban people, and that you remove your goddamn bases off of our own borders in Turkey. Now, that never received much press attention, but that's the breakthrough that Khrushchev got, and thus Cuba has been safe since then. Or as safe as you can with capitalist pigs 90 miles from your shore. But I think some people expected to step down here, never have to worry, never have to defend anything, never have to concern yourself about any problem. Shift yourself, please. And I don't think that's a reasonable explanation or expectation. Peace. I don't think it's hardly reasonable to expect that sort of results when we have seen Che Guevara murdered and tortured, Patrice Lumumba drugged for miles, a great black leader, until the skin was off his bones and did not talk. It's not a reasonable expectation when right now
nuclear war could break out any moment? How many heard the news that I gave to noon today? Didn't hear the news? You didn't hear any of the news? I heard it myself from my own office, so you could have heard it if you were listening, because I heard my own voice. I tested it today. I don't like to listen to my own voice, but I heard my own words with a 2 or 3 second delay of sound. So if you're listening, you could have heard the news. So don't give me no bullshit about not being clear today, because I heard everything I said. You don't want to listen, some of you. Anyway, Israeli forces, the Zionist fascist state, has invaded Lebanon with 25,000 strong. And the Soviet Union said they better get their asses out of there or she will invade Israel. And so the President of the United States gets nervous and has called for the United Nations forces. And the Soviet Union says, that's fine. They can be United Nations forces, go in there, but you pay for them because you set up Israel and you've been funding her and backing her. And it's your goddamn business to take care of it, or Israel's paying the bill. We're not paying the bill. But if you don't get somebody there to drive those Israelis out of the Palestinian liberation territory in Lebanon, and they've invaded and killed upwards of 10,000 innocent women and children in one village. Upwards of 10,000 in one village was wiped out and completely by the Sabre jets that was provided by the United States to the fascist regime of Israel. They said, if you don't get her out of there, we will get her out of there, and we will hold you responsible. So I don't think when Palestinians have died, a whole village has died sometime today or early this morning, I don't think we've got a reason to expect, when people all over the world have died for revolution, I don't think we've got a reason to expect that we might not have to die at some point for what we believe. I think we've got any kind of guts, we ought to be willing to die for what we believe. Sigh, and they hear White. Of course, some of you, if you'd been alert, you'd know when I was talking about Mrs. White maybe coming up. That's why we rushed all the Guyanese out. Got them out of here, because we want to avoid any kind of a showdown. But, say, well, I wish you'd come and go and get over with. Well, I'm sorry. The Soviet Union's members of the Leningrad community, after millions died and they had to eat their own dead, they didn't get that choice for 3 years in the cold winters of Leningrad, surrounded and cut off from all supplies. The brave Soviet people fought and resisted fascism for 3 years, and they didn't get the choice of having a white knight come and go. They had to face it for 3 years, and they had to face invading forces for 6 years before the war came to its end, and they had to face an invasion right after the brave revolution took place. Now, stay awake now, you people, the guards, keep these people awake. They sleep right on their feet. I was up all night too, honey. This thing hasn't just, we don't bring things to you until they've been building up all day. You could tell by the way I jumped on Central Supply that something was in the wind if you'd been listening. Because it was wrong for Central Supply to interfere with an order, because I need money to get all the equipment that we have. Can they hear it? Keep me ever in a radio report. Keep running every thought in here when we get into discussions. I've got to set a tone for some of you who don't know, and I'm sorry to be repeated. I sure don't like to talk, and I would like to be able to fight a goddamn revolution. But to me, it's braver to try to stay alive and bring more babies, to bring more socialists, to try to be able to be in a position to win more. And just because you've had two white nights and we've had to stand out here in the rain and defend this place for 6 days and seven nights, that doesn't mean you're going to lose. The Soviet Union would have thought they were going to lose when they lost nearly one-sixth of their population. They did lose over a sixth of their population. One out of six people died. 20 million were murdered by Nazi Germany. But they won. And anything worth, as I said, living for is worth dying for. And you can have all kinds of reverses, far more than we have. We have not yet had to be surrounded, with cut off from supplies, cut off from food, fuel, and everything else, and have to eat our own dead. I've forgotten the terrible statistics. Maybe someone remembers it more vividly than I do. How many died in Leningrad? I know one out of three died. And it was better than one out of three. It was closer to 40% died, and the ones that remained alive had to eat their dead to live. And I don't think you've got a reason to expect, and they were white, and blacks have died under Patrice Lumumba, and blacks and brown died in Cuba. I don't think we've got a right to expect revolutions to come easy. As I said, we've got a lovely land stretching 30 miles around, and we can't expect to keep it without fighting for it. And be ready to fight at a drop of a goddamn hat, and I'm ready at a drop of a goddamn hat. Those from geriatrics who braved it out, like Mom Taylor and others, came from sick beds. Nurses keep a constant check on them. They will not be required to stay. They don't want to. Brother Johnson, who was a miracle, surely with miracles like that when he was nothing but death. Appendix ruptured here. We had no way out but by boat, and he was saved, to the doctor's amazement. Rose Peterson, filled with cancer with no chance of being healed, and here she is tonight when I spoke the word, and she's healed, standing back there. No cancer in that body as she waves her hand back there. So I think that there's hope. Long as there's life, there's a lot of hope around Jim Jones. Touche, would you see Johnny for some preparation that you... Now, where was I? So, we sit tonight pondering that there is CIA here, maybe sitting here.
True.
I'm sure you're sitting here now. If you are here, you will never sit anyplace else but here. Talking to me, I study faces and expressions, and you learn a lot by doing so. All of you ought to study your neighbor when certain comments are made. Now, the situation is this. We have been refused the license of a doctor. I have refused the admission of any doctors or reporters on this property. That's what you call eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation, like Khrushchev did. It frightened the Soviet Union so much that Khrushchev policies, I wish they were back, that they dismissed Khrushchev and put in a more moderate leader. But to me, Khrushchev was one of the greatest things that ever happened to the Soviet Union. He didn't talk. When the United Nations, they were doing things in Africa that was not right, he took his shoe off, and everybody made fun of him and called him some kind of a brute, but he beat his shoe and had all of his delegation beaten the heels of their shoes on the desk in the United Nations. Those were the best days. When you modify crazy nigger tactics, you're liable to lose a revolution. Khrushchev, though white, was not afraid to be a crazy nigger and act crazy. That's the only way I've won. I tried to reason here on different occasions, and reason doesn't win. There's some people in this country who never won the revolution. The revolution was inherited. They gained their independence under a socialist regime. They've never really been fully revolutionized. We have a man that we have deep and abiding trust in, Dr. Reed, who's the head of the party, the Marxist-Leninist Party, called the PNC. The only opposition party is the PPP. It's a People's Progressive Party. We, as you know, have been praised in the Soviet Union, and we're making overtures to the Soviet Union. We're meeting with the Soviet Union tonight. We have told that we've told the Soviet Union, in fact, their slightest wish is our command. That meant any of that, whatever. If that were to be that we were to fight, if that were to mean that we were to go to Ethiopia and fight and help those brave people that are dying tonight are to go to the Soviet Union. That means if the Soviet Union were to say at this moment, I would be prepared if the Soviet Union said anything, because the Soviet Union have proved, and North Koreans in the articles of praise about us, North Korea is also a Soviet ally, they have proven their willingness to put their neck out and praise us as the vanguard of liberation and socialism in the United States in their leading magazine, The New Times. And so whatever the Soviet Union were to say tonight, I would do. If they were to give an order, that's what I'd do. I would do that. If anybody has any question about that, you can question it and raise any opposition, and you'll not be in any way ridiculed. But if they were to say for us to take some kind of course of action tonight, I would do it. They have won more revolutions than anybody else. They won the Black Revolution by giving support to it in Angola, Mozambique, and they won in Ethiopia this last week. So I will abide by their judgments. They've proven their revolutionary leadership. I don't believe anything's infallible. I don't believe anything is as pure as socialism as I am. I've had testimony of that by Dr. Fernandes, who's the chairman of the Guyana Livestock Board. He said, I've been all over the world, Cuba, Russia, and every place, and they've got wonderful things happening, and certainly better than American capitalism by a long way. But he said, I've never seen so pure a socialism where the leader lives what he preaches and takes the same responsibility and the same sacrifices and even more pain than anybody else. He said, it's the purest form of socialism I've ever seen in my life. But we have some interesting developments now. If we have all the people at hand, you can do some thinking. For some reason, Mingo, Minister of Home Affairs, obviously doesn't like Fernandes, and Fernandes has been one of our strong supporters. For some reason, Mingo is being very cool. We've said that the doctors don't come in unless our doctor's licensed. He said we can abide by their rules. And we've had these eyeball to eyeball with him before. The last time we threw our bodies out in front of a car and stopped the deputy prime minister, and then he said, well, I'm sorry, haven't I been pleasing you people? But it took that kind of an attack to get him to understand that he wasn't communicating with us. So Sharon Amos and some of them just literally threw themselves out on the car and blocked the car of the deputy prime minister so they could talk to him. And this is supposed to be our liaison man. Now, he may have gotten up this morning with diarrhea or dyspepsia, or maybe his wife told him how small his dick is. I don't know what his problem is, but he's in a shitty mood today. I don't care how shitty his mood is until he starts making demands that are unreasonable. You have to compromise to get your base. Dr. Reed, according to a very eminent authority, an old-time established person, you can weigh it for what it is. Clark, who's in Dr. Burnham's firm, are you listening to all of me now? Some of you know it. Clark, Senior Clark, met with the Deputy Prime Minister this morning. He said, the Deputy Prime Minister said that Tim Stone would never be allowed back in this country, that nobody was going to harm Jim Jones or his people in any legal situation, that we were not to be harassed anymore or to be scrutinized. Well, now, I don't know whether Dr. Reed has a weak position tonight. Last week, Mingo was against the man that we don't like, Hoyt, who is very, very known. He's praised by U.S. circles and considered to be pro-U.S. and a seemingly more influential force in Guyanese politics. Minister of Development. Last week, Mingo was talking about him being erratic and temperamental and representing no one. This week, he seemed to be saying he's a good socialist. There are arrest orders hanging out on me and a few others here. They've not been honored. That's a natural process, so don't get unduly excited about that. Arrest orders because we wouldn't turn over certain people, and they made proceedings against us in the United States. And so Joyce Touche and I don't know who else, have arrest orders. But
We have it from the foreign minister, and we've had it from eminent jurist, who's one of our counselors, Sir Lionel Luckoo. We've had it from Clark, that the prime minister said that no arrest orders will ever be served. Clark went so far as to say that he was present when he was talking to the judge who decided against us and is unduly influenced by British and American, like some black people wants to be white, unduly influenced by British and American opinion. The head chief marshal walked in and said, I'm not going to get into this. This is a hassle. I'm not touching Jim Jones. And so Clark Sr. said he was there when that happened. I believe I have that reasonably accurate. I don't know all the other good things. I don't try to specialize in what the good things. Now, this is this morning, the deputy prime minister, who's the head of the party, who is in some ways as powerful as the prime minister, was saying about us. He couldn't rave enough about us. The wonderful things we do, the project, the model of socialism. But this country's economy, like the world economy, is in somewhat of a disarray, some confusion. Now, please keep your mind on what we're doing. The dollar, if you'd heard the news today, I don't know what I'm going to do if I talk to give the news and people don't listen. It's an awful shame because every time I talk, my voice is so sore, you can't know how sore it is to talk. And when I don't hear but six hands that listen to the news during lunch hour, that pisses me off. That really pisses me off, Royal. I can't tell you how much that pisses me off because I talk slow and decisively, and if you had wanted to hear, you could have heard. Very well. What was the point I was making? The dollar is dropped to lowest point ever since the Depression again. They always make a lower point each time because it hit the lowest point compared to the Japanese yen and the British pound and the Deutsche Mark, the German Mark, and the Geneva, the Swiss Mark. And then all this nuclear shit, hell, maybe there'll be a nuclear war. And the day that happens, we'll be on the top of things. Because we're the strongest organized group of people anywhere, and we can win. There'll never be any defeat thereafter. But who looks forward to a nuclear war because all of the people would be killed in the United States, or a great number of them? All the cities would be killed. We want our people to freedom. We'd like to see some others wake up. But I doubt very much if many black people are going to wake up in view that they go on with business as usual, even though for 5 days running, or the sixth day probably, I have not heard about Boston today, but for 5 days running, Boston has been in a state of civil war between the races. And it was in last week in Milwaukee. And shit, America goes right on with its usual business, even though the Ku Klux Klan is circulating pamphlets and dropping them by airplane and everything else. How many heard the news last night? Did you manage to hear the news last night? Now, Christ spoke, I spoke over the clear mic, and you were under the pavilion, and the band, even as much as they need their practice, stopped their music. What in the hell do you do? How many heard the news last night? Well, tell me you can't hear. I talk too goddamn slow and plain. I talk very slowly, just like this. If you bothered to listen, you would have heard. The Ku Klux Klan's formed an alliance with the Nazis and the White Citizen Council, and they're circulating hate literature all through the towns to scare the goddamn people. Every city in America and state in America saying that blacks are planning to kill off white people, and they've got an Uncle Tom group that was set up to do it. But even the Grand Dragon admitted, Imperial Wizard, whatever his damn idiot name is, Duke, I think, said that it was all a setup. It never had been, but they're trying to scare all of America, American people, and got them in a riotous storm, saying that black people had a plan to murder. And how could black people murder whites when they're outnumbered 10-1? But even so, he admitted that his wife had done it. It was something she had done. It's in her name. The book was written by her and incorporated by her. Chloe is his wife's name. I'm jumping over some of this shit because education is difficult. 100 of you come in here from anarchy, and some of us have been through many a battle. Some of you kept up the battle back there, and some of you lost sight of the battle. And that's a fact. Some of you kept touch with the vision, and some of you wasted money night and day doing your own goddamn thing, tripping out while black people were being killed and set up in prisons, while the Wilmington 10 was denied a new trial, even though all the witnesses that
gave testimony against them, those black and Indian people. All the witnesses admitted they'd been paid off by the federal government, and yet they were denied a new trial, and the President of the United States and the Attorney General refused to intervene on their behalf. And you went right on drinking, smoking, playing around while that kind of shit was happening. Now we over here shedding blood on this soil to win it for you. Some of you were fucking off, and you know you were. We got a prime minister who told me, the deputy prime minister, he said, you're going to have to play this waiting game with the United States and use it for what you can. I remember him saying, use it for what you can, because we don't have any guarantees of Soviet cover. We have not been able to get a treaty like the Soviets managed for Cuba. We stand by our whip, I believe he said something like that way back in May. We have to stand by our whip. And he said, we'll have to outmaneuver the United States. He said, we don't trust the United States. I don't trust its president. But he said, if I did trust its president, institutions are always the same. He said, presidents come and go. Well, I can't believe the doctor told me Reed, the head of the party, has changed that much. Fortunately, you don't have any opposition here that's capitalist in terms of organized party force. The opposition is a PPP is Marxist-Leninist and leans strongly to the Soviet Union. This party, this government, asked for Soviet aid. The Soviet Union made a demand on them that some of the black nationalists in the party would not accept. And that can be debated whether it's rightful or wrong. They made the demand that they would aid this country provided they integrated both parties and stop this bullshit of two Marxist parties. Being that they did not do that, Soviets have not given any appreciable aid. So this country is being forced to move to other directions to get aid. The Soviet Union could do very little less, I imagine, after 40 years that it's been associated with the PPP. The PPP has been its party organ here. Dr. Jagan has been its proponent. I don't know that Chetty Jagan is in any way any better than the rest of them. I don't like that he used pragmatically an appeal to the East Indians on race to win an election one time. I do think it's asinine that we see this division in the country, but I can understand a black population that is slightly outnumbered by East Indian who are in better position of wealth because they were not slaves, they were indentured people and farmers, that they feel a little insecure about allowing their party to be dismantled and a new party formed and equal representation, because there's equal representation that would mean there'd be more East Indians than blacks. And I imagine the blacks feel somewhat insecure about that. Although more and more blacks are coming to the position it's going to have to be. Polly Moore, one of the old-time PNC moderate socialists, head of the Trade Union Congress of all the unions in Guyana, just a few days ago called for an immediate national front, a united national front, the only way that they could survive against the threats of capitalism and to be able to maintain its economy. So there's a lot of sentiment for that. And you've got this small element inside that calls itself a Working People's Alliance. It's nothing but a CIA element. They're after RAS, they're after the PNC, and they're after the PPP. And they're knocking Cuba and the Soviet Union in this issue. They just come out. We're knocked. We're supposed to be mining gold and silver and diamonds and a bunch of shit that we don't do. And that we send our ship to and fro from Florida and bring in supplies, and our ship wouldn't even go 5 miles to sea. 15 miles, when we get into 15 miles of the ocean, we get nervous because our pumps have to pump heavy. So you got that kind of little shit that's inside, and I know the head of that, Bridley Ben, fucker, is CIA because the U.S. Embassy friend, in one of his more risque moments, told us that he asked for CIA money. And he's obviously CIA because he's acting like it. He can't be against Cuba, Russia, the PPP, the PNC, and Jonestown, and for nothing without being very questionable about where in the hell your head is. But we're in a situation that isn't easy. We got a lot of support. Our people go from day to day, from door to door, and we raise two sweet people, one black young lady, Joan Pursley, and one white young man, Bobby Stroud, and they're raising on the average of $17,000 a year. U.S. They raise on the average every week of $700, $800 Guyanese. Without that, I couldn't plan my whole budget as well as I do, because it costs me $1,000 for every one of you. I have to plan. I say us. I'm the administrator because I am you and you are me. I have to plan $1,000 for every person here a month to maintain you. Will you wake up, dear? It's early in the night. Thank you. Now, we went to many, many weeks without any crisis. We went a period of months without any crisis. But we cannot guarantee you, and I probably this year will be the year that will make things pretty decisive. We cannot guarantee you until we see, and then you never guarantee anything. There's no guarantees in life other than the graveyard. That's a guarantee. That's a good guarantee. Up until I came along, everybody died and never got resurrected. I've even managed to resurrect people. So that's the only guarantee you got is a graveyard. And I like that guarantee because it makes a very good bargaining platform. I would hate to be doomed with the curse of immortality. Then you couldn't bargain so freely. But we are equipped, if we had to commit revolutionary suicide, and that's the only way to ever do it. If you commit selfish suicide, you would be reincarnated back 10,000 years or 500 generations. And I don't believe in anything much. I do believe in the order of threes. I do believe that things synchronize with no sense or order, and I do believe that the mind lives on. I don't believe there's any loving thing in the universe, or it never would have started this shit in the first place. I don't believe there's no loving God, or it never would have created people so they'd get old and die and have cancer and go blind and little children to starve to death, 2 out of 3 babies going to bed hungry. But I do believe that mind exists because I've seen mind when somebody died, when I helped them will them to die. Louise Hill, I'll never forget her name, in our nursing home. How many years ago was that, Marston? Your memory would be better than mine. 20 years would it be? I saw I saw a light come from her body and go out exactly upon time when I got her to overcome her fears, and she was in a coma, and her eyes had been set, and her flies were even getting in her mouth. We were fighting to keep them out, and she looked like death warmed over, and she could not, they said she was in a total coma, and I don't believe in total comas. I've found that many times since then. You can talk to them, because I got her to grunt. I said, if you hear me, say yes by one grunt, and if something is no, say it by two grunts, or vice versa, I don't remember which. And she answered every question to the very age, her birthday, how many children she had. She asked them consistently without fail, and she'd been laying in a coma and looked like nothing but a skeleton for how many weeks?
Well, about 3 weeks, and yeah, her vital signs, her pulse was strong. It could have gone on and on and on and on. And he talked to her for 5 minutes.
I said, you're afraid to die? She said, yes. It was one. Yes. Yes was one. I said, you're afraid to die? She said, yes. I said, death is nothing. Nothing. It's nothing. It's just like stepping out of a prison into something freeing. I don't remember what I gave her, but in 5 minutes I talked her into dying. And she gave up and went on. She was a Catholic. She couldn't have believed in me for healing, because she was all caught up in a bunch of bullshit. But she believed in my character, and I was able to free her from the fear of death, and she let that old carcass of a body go. And we, the nurses in there, Mabel, and I've forgotten the other nurse who was there, and myself, Betty, saw, it's longer than 20 years ago, Marston says, well, whatever, yeah, it was. The light went right up to the ceiling. So I know that you don't want to mess with committing suicide, because it came through to me intuitively once that if you do it, if you commit suicide for selfish reasons, you'll come back. And I saw something happen once about a pigeon and a worm that gave me some classic belief in that. But I also believe it's dishonest, and that's my reason. It's immoral to commit suicide for selfish reasons. It's hostile. It's an act of vengeance to do it. But if tonight we couldn't get our freedom and we all say we're all going to commit suicide and drink some potion, that would be an honorable act if that was our only alternative, and that was our best alternative. Do you see what I'm saying? That would be revolutionary suicide. That's what Huey Newton meant by revolutionary suicide. Or running right out with a bomb in your hand into a building blowing it up. Or running at a car with something strapped around you that had the enemy in it and blowing it and yourself up. That would be revolutionary suicide, and that would be an honorable thing to do. I speak on two levels. To the religious, who still have that orientation, though I do believe that there is another dimension to mind. I wish I didn't. I wish it was just a simple materialistic interpretation, but I believe mind is a material force. And I still believe the basic essentials is that we have to make our own revolution. We have to build with our own hands. We don't depend upon any unknown quantity, because you can't predict.